Find out more about UC Berkeley, Haas's Master's in Financial Engineering during this interview with its Assistant Dean and Executive Director, Linda Kreitzman. This small but elite program for the mathematically inclined provides incredible career opportunities, but is a tough program to complete and tougher to get into. Welcome to the 279th episode of Admissions Straight Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you show that you both fit in at your target schools and are a standout in the applicant pool. The result? You get a message one day that causes you to jump up and down shouting, "Yes, I'm in," and not only in, but in at the best program for you. Our guest today, Dr. Linda Kreitzman, earned her honors degree in political science, master's degree in English, French, and Spanish, and later on, a PhD in economics. Most importantly for our call today, Linda Kreitzman helped design and launch the number one ranked Master's of Financial Engineering program at the University of California, Berkeley, way back in 2000. Today, she is in charge of the admissions, curriculum, and placement of students in internships and full-time positions for the MFE program. Linda has literally placed hundreds of students in investment banks, asset management firms, and technology and consulting firms around the world. And she is currently designing programs in data science for the Haas School of Business. Outside of her work at Berkeley, Kreitzman is chief strategist and advisor to several startups in the Bay Area, New York, and France in the fields of technology, artificial intelligence, and education. Poets and Quants recently named her the Queen of Quants. Let's learn more about the Haas MFE from the ultimate insider, Linda Kreitzman. Linda, welcome to Admission Straight Talk.
Thank you, Linda, and thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Now, could you give our listeners an overview of the MFE, focusing more on its distinctive features?
So the MFE program at Berkeley is really a one-year program that starts in March, ends the following March, and there are four academic terms of 2 months each. The cool thing about this program is that after 75% of the coursework, students go anywhere in the world to complete a paid internship. The locations, the United States, Wall Street, but also San Francisco, Boston, Chicago, Europe, London, France, and Asia, Singapore, China, and Hong Kong as well. And again, this is a paid internship. So the program is ranked number one in the country. The cool thing also about this program is that we have 50% letter faculty who teach in the program and also 50% professionals, industry professionals who come and teach courses such as Ron Kahn or Eric Weiner. They teach respectively the equity and currency markets course, and then for Eric, the applied finance project and derivatives course. We admit students who have PhDs already, masters or undergrads. We have a pre-programmed set of courses that anyone can take, even remotely, before coming to the program, which really helps them and helps us assess them. Last thing that I want to say about this program is that we believe that the success of a program is based on how well our students are going to do, not during the MFE, but also post-MFE. We really place each and every student, and that's really what we love to do in the program. We also work with students before they complete their degrees. For instance, if we find a student who's really interested and, you know, has done so far very well academically, we can informally recommend for admission as early as in his or her junior year an undergrad student and help him and her throughout his senior, her senior year, wow, perhaps even an internship, and then bring them on board. And that is why our students have been very, very successful. So we believe in helping the students.
You can do that with juniors and seniors at UC Berkeley. Can you do that if a junior or senior contacts you from another university?
Any student anywhere in the world, from anywhere, wow, from France, from Kenya, it doesn't matter. We work with students international students, domestic students. As you know, these programs tend to attract a lot of international students.
Oh, yeah.
So yes, we will do that with PhDs, with masters. In fact, we know our students before they set foot at Berkeley.
Wow.
We work with them sometimes a year, 2 years, 3 years in advance. Yes.
Whoa. Okay. That's very unusual. Now, I understand you've been the director of the, we're going to get to more about admissions in a minute, but you've been director of the MFE really since day one. Why an MFE? Why not a Master's of Finance? What's the need for it?
So it's actually an interesting question. Haas's decision to create to the MFE was made a little bit before 2000. So actually before I came on board, while I helped launch the program, I have to say that it's our Professor Emeritus David Pyle with our actually interim dean now, Laura Tyson. She was dean at the time,
right,
and she's a wonderful woman to work with. So I'm excited to work again with Laura. So at the time, there was not only a demand from the industry for financial engineers, for students really who could be very technical and who had statistics, programming already, skill set that the MBAs, for instance, didn't have at the time. But at the time, there were other MFE programs that were available. CMU, for instance, the only thing is that these programs were launched from or held at, within the operations research or engineering or math departments. We were the first ones to launch an MFE at a business school.
Got
we
it.
Wanted to make sure that our quant students were not considered the typical quants working in the back room doing number crunching, but we wanted our students to have economic intuition, to have strong people skills, communication and writing skills. And that's really what differentiates us from others. The world has become more complex. You probably heard of data science, artificial intelligence. This is used in finance now, and not just in finance, marketing, healthcare.
Many fields, of course.
Exactly. So what we wanted to achieve in here, which we have achieved, is ability to position our students in any field within finance or technology. And we want to make sure that, again, they are not in the back room doing number crunching. So at the business school, the first ones, and this is where we've been able to really get the cream of a crop in this program. One thing, I want to make it clear that while it is a competitive program, our job is to make you competitive for the program before you come to Berkeley. So that is why the preparation is. We understand what the firms are looking for. And you know, I've worked with the students in placement.
Uh-huh.
I'm a de facto headhunter. And I work for the university for the students. I understand what the firms want. And as such, early on, I wanted to do the placement myself. And that's what I've done consistently. I am lucky now to be helped by a program director, Mei Wong, who graduated from the MFE back in 2005, and Janet Chin, whom, I stole from the MBA Career Center years ago, but she wanted to be stolen, of course.
My husband is an actuary, and he was vice president of an insurance company for many years. And a key differentiator for him when hiring somebody, and sometimes a key flaw in many of the people that he worked under him, was that they had tunnel vision. They couldn't see the big picture. They were definitely outstanding technicians in terms of, statistical knowledge, actuarial knowledge, et cetera, but they couldn't see the big picture. That seems to be the issue that you were trying to address, or that Haas was trying to address, by establishing the MFE in the business school. Is that correct?
I think you nailed it down. We don't want students. We can have them with a tunnel vision, but we really enlarge this vision when they come. And I absolutely agree with you that this is not what the firms want. And again, that's our strength.
Okay. Now, what's the difference between the MFE and the Masters of Finance?
Well, typically the Masters and Finance programs are broad programs that they tend to teach more on the corporate finance side. You know, it's a general degree. With the MFE, the requirements are different. We are looking for people, again, with strong programming, statistics, math, of course, and then finance experience. We bring our students with already corporate finance and investments coursework. Some of them have passed already or taking the CFA level one, some experience or not. But again, the difference is our program is more technical, more data science also oriented. So it's not on the light side. It's more in depth in fixed income, in equity, in the fields of finance, and then the preparation as well. MBA students do not prepare their students months or years before, but we do.
Right. Now, academics, you've talked about academics now, and they're obviously extremely important, especially the quant, right? The average GRE GMAT quant percentile of entering students is 93.2, and the average verbal percentile is 77.7, which certainly isn't bad. The average undergraduate GPA is 3.75. But beyond the stats, and I think we've talked about this maybe a little bit, what is the Haas MFE looking for?
We are looking for people who have very strong logic skills, who have a good understanding of the financial markets, who are willing to get that understanding of the markets, who are open to taking different courses and finding their paths during the program, and who are willing to prepare before the program, work with us. So someone who is also humble and who can work with others. Very critical to work with others. The reality is that, for instance, for us, 95% of the homework is team-based because you are not going to work by yourself or just, you know, alone within a firm. You're going to work with teams within a team, so we reproduce that in the program. So that's what we're looking at. Someone who's open, willing to work, and who has a good understanding, at least, you know, let's say two fields within what we require. So strong at math and statistics, or strong in programming and economics, and then we'll come and we will make this person work on other skill set that they need to acquire. They can do that online. They can also do that via community college by themselves. It really depends whether they're a PhD or not. And, you know, earlier you actually asked a question, why the MFE? If we look back 20 years ago, most the investment banks, for instance, or, you know, most firms were hiring PhDs and masters or MBAs. The PhDs, I had very strong, maybe engineering or math skills, but they didn't have economic intuition. That's the reason why really all of these MFE programs were born. So that's what
I was wondering if the MFE, specifically the Berkeley MFE, kind of was an outgrowth of the dot-com boom, because you were just in timing.
It just happened at the same time, but I don't think it was that. It was really to address a need and understanding from David Pyle and the faculty that economic, again, intuition was important in order to be successful in finance. And yes, it paid off.
Okay. Yeah, clearly. In terms of, again, the admissions requirements, and we've talked a lot about, you know, the preparation that the MFE is willing to encourage applicants to undergo. What about work experience? I know that you've mentioned that you have master's students, you have PhD students, but you also take people straight from undergrad. Does work experience play any role? Unlike, you know, the MBA, it's practically required.
We don't require experience. In fact, we have young students, when I say young, when they have just undergrad degrees, even if they have just one internship, 3 months internship, it's good enough for us if they have a good academic background and are willing, again, to prepare. We've been very, very successful with students who came straight from undergrad. You know, obviously, if you have, say, an MBA who applies to the MFE program, we have had that, or someone who has worked as an engineer and has experience, we do take a look at, you know, the skill set that they have used. But again, we do not want students to believe that experience is necessary to be very successful in the program. I would like to direct our listeners, you know, here to our to the bios of our students. They can go online, just check MFE at Berkeley or Berkeley MFE and take a look at, you know, the menu and meet our students and their community. They look at Alex Vossmeyer, who graduated, you know, with a degree in computer science from the University of California, as well as Santa Barbara, and came with very, very little experience. I mean, a couple of months or 3 months, is currently very successful, and his internship will be in the AI lab at Uber. So he'll be set as a data scientist. So again, I encourage undergrads to apply just as I encourage masters and PhDs. There is room in terms of placement in internships and full-time positions. There is room in many, many firms for different backgrounds and again, different degrees. So
can you, we've been kind of dancing around this, but can you describe the application process for the MFE?
It's a straightforward application process. So you answer questions, you submit two letters of recommendation. You also submit your transcript, of course, and your CV. There are questions that we asked. For instance, you know, tell us if you have experience or not, but within your academic work, you may have solved or done, you may have solved problems, or you may have done research. Talk to us about the tools that you have used. Be straightforward. We don't expect you to tell us that you've done very complex work. We just want to get to know you so that we can help you prepare. And the preparation, again, can be for 3 months or 2 months. It really depends. We also want to know why you want to do the MFE. Perhaps what career you have in mind. But we also love it if you tell us, hey, I don't know. You know, I don't know if I want to work in a fintech firm. I don't know if I want to work as a fixed income analyst. I really don't know, but I love statistics. I love math. I love AI. And I want to come and I'm flexible. Perfect. We don't need you to tell us exactly what you want to do. We want you to discover that through the program. The other question is, you know, in terms of innovation, have you ever been innovative? And you can give us any example. What are your strengths? GPA-wise, you know, if you had a 2.5 a first year, what happened? And you can tell us, I played around. I was not very focused. We just want to get to know you. But pretty straightforward application process. And by the way, Berkeley gives decisions back, believe it or not, within 4 to 8 weeks. We are very, very efficient, fast. We also have a interview process. We interview candidates whom we think will be good for the program and fulfill at least some of our requirements, maybe not all of them, but half of them. And the interviews are conducted by the executive director or program director and then an alum as well. And the interview process is not the final decision. It is really a sense for us to get to know exactly what the strengths are. And yes, there is a video component. Again, we want to make sure that our students, we want to know our students. We want to know how they communicate. Granted, that's just a couple of minutes, but we want to know how they communicate as well and get to know them, to get a sense of who they are.
Now, the video component is actually part of the application. It comes before the interview in the process. What is the purpose of the video component?
Oh, just to know who the students are and how they are able to communicate within, you know, a couple of minutes. We give them just 2 tries, so they can't prepare too much. Well, I guess they can prepare before, but again, it's just an introduction.
Can you give me an example of, I mean, you've kind of alluded to this, but maybe go into a little bit more about the careers that graduates go into?
Well, our students go into, frankly, all titles in finance. There, some of them are portfolio managers. researchers, so there are analysts associates, mergers and acquisitions. They are traders, high frequency traders, structures. They design, for instance, hedging solutions for their clients. So structures, they do prop trading. They are data scientists. So they really work for iBanks, sell side, buy side, hedge funds. We cover the entire field of finance and fintech as well.
Okay. Can you just give me one really cool story about a Haas MFE grad?
I have a lot of cool stories.
So okay, you can give me a couple. It's all right. I mean, we got time. It's early.
The cool story was back in 2012, and I often cite that story. But I had we had a student, Charles Gorrington, who graduated in 2012. And Charles was singing the same tune over and over again from 2011 when he came to the program to 2012. He wanted to be a high-frequency trader, and he wanted to work for Virtue, a trading firm in Chicago. So, I set up the interview. He did extremely well, and I was all so happy. I bring him on the Thursday in the morning, and I say, hey, Charles, your offer with Virtue is going to come tomorrow. And he says, very, very happy. And finally, he says to me, Linda, how do I decline an offer to interview this afternoon at 2 p.m. or 1 p.m.? And it's 10 a.m. in the morning. And I said, Charles, you're never going to do this on a short notice like that. Tough luck. I need you to go. And he said to me, well, but it is, in 2 hours from here, and it's at Facebook. And he said, I wonder why Facebook is interested in me. And it was really the beginning of data science firms or, fintech firm, technology firms who were interested in our students, because, by the way, they have also economic intuition. And I said, Charles, I forced you to go. If I have to drive you myself to Facebook, I'm going to do it. Got him someone to drive him. And then I don't hear from Charles until at 7 p.m. I receive a phone call, and Charles says, Linda, I'm going to accept an offer at Facebook.
Oh, gosh.
And I fell off my chair. Thank God I was And I thought, whoa. 8 months later, I started checking on Charles for the next couple of years, thinking, my God, maybe he's going to miss the market. Maybe. But he replied, don't worry, I love what I do. I am so proud of Charles because as at this time, believe it or not, he's back in France. He had other job offers, a very successful young man who launched his healthcare data science company. He's making health accessible and simple, first digital health company in France. He raised more than 37 million euros. He's outstanding. That's a cool story. The moral of the story is come to the MFE and don't necessarily think that you're going to do something. Be open. The paths can be different. But again, we help you explore those paths in the MFE program.
Right. That's an amazing story. You've mentioned data science, and I believe you're planning to launch a data science program. What are the plans for the future of the MFE? I understand you're going to expand.
We have launched already and expanded already. So we were, again, the first ones to teach machine learning for finance. It's taught by Professor Laurent Algaraoui from the engineering department at Berkeley. We brought him on board to teach that years and years ago. And then we brought Gert Lankreet, who teaches the tools, platforms, and applications of machine learning to finance also. We required Python, R, and artificial intelligence and machine learning through Coursera and Udacity and Udemy before you come to Berkeley. But the preparation is done. These are short certificates. They are cheap, $49 per certificate if you want to get the certificate. So we expanded. We have 80 students. We will go to 100 soon. So we'll have two cohorts, one who will specialize in data science, But the reality is that we have placed already in data science and have an informal specialization in the field. And it's an informal degree, doesn't change financial engineering. And those who want to go to traditional or, you know, continue their work in finance will be able to do that. But the reality is that even investment banks are using data science skill sets. So at the end of the day, you don't have to tell us where you want to specialize. You can just pick the electives that you want.
Okay. Now, you recently had an interview on Poets and Quants, and the interview said that you are angered when people tell you that they want to get an MFA to get rich. Why does that make you angry? And what are some good reasons? What are some good reasons for wanting an MFA?
Well, first of all, I'm never angry. And you work with, not even with my children, to be angry, no, I cannot say that I'm angry. I think I said I'm annoyed or I'm concerned if someone is going to say to me, I only want to do the MFE because I want to make money. And the truth is, I've had one person say it. Look, everybody's going to make money in this program, and there is no reason for not wanting to make money. You know, after all, things are expensive. So, but I think there must be other reasons. Really, the passion to make a difference, to apply your skill set, to be interested, to creating a passion for finance, to understand the markets, to be efficient, to create things. I mean, I like to give, there might be other cool stories, but I like to give an example. I've had students who decided to go a different path. They did the MFE. They were very successful traders. For example, Nixon and Burke, who graduated in 2007 and launched a virtual assistant company, his startup, also Productivity, a startup. We actually used him in the MFE because he has helped us tremendously. So I think it's doing something. Then we have MFE 2004, Liran Amrani, who really gave up also, like Nick, millions of dollars, very successful for at JP Morgan. And Nick was at BNP Paribas and is starting really a cool financial app called Debitize. So, you know, to allow the young generation to be in control of their finances, I think it's really pretty cool. Let me give another one. And this is really, for me, very proud of his story. Another person who was in finance and one of our alumni, his name is Atanas Vanchev, who just launched recently Panacea.ag. And it's a sustainable local food ecosystems, basically a technology company focused on creating sustainable local food system using AI, artificial intelligence. Why? He wants to build greenhouse automation. He wants food security, to be, it is key to his business. I think it's really wonderful to have people who are using their finance skill set to create companies that are desperately needed, I would say.
Right, and improving the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
I sometimes am told, and obviously I'm not judging anybody, right? They can tell me anything they want. I'm not going to accept or reject them. But I am sometimes told, oh, I want to do X, Y, Z because I want to get rich. And my usual answer is, look, there's lots of different ways to get rich. The first thing that's going to happen when you go to grad school is that you're going to spend a whole lot of money. Why are you choosing this way? I think the biggest problem with that answer is that it's just very, very superficial. And of course, it lacks any kind of greater social purpose or good to it. I think your points are very well taken. Just going back to the MFE. One question I had when I was preparing for the call is, why does it go from March to March? Why not June to June, you know, September to September, something like that? Why March to March?
You know, it started because at the beginning, we thought we're going to make it a part-time program, but then we changed course also. It was a bureaucratic reason. At any point in time at that time, you could only have X number of students on campus. So they told us, okay, you're going to start in March. And when I studied the MFE, I thought, oh my God, I really cannot have a summer internship because I want to release the students to the industry when they have enough knowledge already. And I thought that the ideal was to have a winter internship that runs from October to January. And basically in the fall, I should say, and winter. So as I started dealing with the companies, everybody was saying to me at the beginning, as I was on Wall Street, I mean, you had to conquer Wall Street to be very successful. So I was in New York every 6 weeks and was going to directly to managing directors, going to all the conferences in New York and saying to them, here's my card. You're going to need me because I have the students that you want. And I realized that after I was talking about the fall internship, the response was extremely positive. I want to say thank you to Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan in particular, who took quite a few students and said, gosh, we love the concept of a fall internship. By the way, we have a lot of students to help us in the summer and we have nobody in the fall. So it became so successful that there was no issue. And I thought, hey, you know, I have the best students, really one of the best students, most competitive students, and I give them to the industry at a time when they need them. So it has worked quite well for us. I didn't realize that at the time, but very quickly that I had students thanking me, those who were coming from industry, and they were saying, thank you so much. I got my bonus. Now I can pay for the MFE.
All right.
They were finishing, you know, in January.
That worked for them. Okay. Makes sense. That's another good reason. Now, on a personal note, you have your undergrad in poli sci. You also have, I think, master's degrees in English, French, and Spanish. And then somewhere along the way, you switched. You went for your doctorate in economics, and now you're the assistant dean and executive director of one of the most quantitative programs on the planet. All right, so you have a good left brain and right brain, but why the switch?
Actually, there was never any switch, really, because within poli science, I did take the political economy. So I did do econometrics, statistics. So, but I'm an educator. I cannot do what my students are doing in terms of using Python, for instance. But I understand how to use it. I understand what you do with it. And so I really love education. I mean, I could have obviously branched out and gone to industry multiple times, but it's pretty cool to be in my position because I've worked really with the industry. I've been working with the industry and working with the students, with the faculty also at Haas. So there was really no switch, but a natural path for me. When Haas called me and wanted to interview me, I thought this was, and I had been teaching, by the way, economics courses for MBA students before. When they asked me to do this work, I was going to join the industry, and I made the decision, which I never regretted, really, to take care of to launch the MFE. And it's been a wonderful, hard work, but a wonderful experience.
That's great. And then there was one question I meant to ask and I forgot. You or the MFE has rounds, right? And I think your next deadline coming up is November 30th, which is actually the last round for the 2019 entering class, correct?
I believe we have it in October.
I'm sorry. It's October. I'm looking at the wrong date. The decision date is November. The last round is October 3rd, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Right. Okay. The decision date is November. So, but you at the same time, so there's deadlines for different rounds, but at the same time, you get back to people within 4 to 8 weeks, which is kind of a more rolling admissions model. So this is kind of a blended rolling admissions round. I mean, how does that work? Is it just...
It works very efficiently for us. I think that the reality, you want to have some deadlines to be organized and structured. But it's been common for students to say, I actually missed the deadline. I couldn't get my two letters of recommendation. So we really leave it open till, you know, literally the end of December. If one person says, oh my God, I just discovered the MFE. And it happened to us. But we also sometimes have in January or March, students who apply for the following years, in this case, entering 2020. And we may believe that one of them, it happens all the time, is actually ripe for entry earlier. It may not make sense for this candidate to spend one more year doing something that may not help him or her. So we reserve a right to say to the person, are you ready to come within a couple of months? And we will do that. So yes, we have rounds because you want to have a structured and people like specific deadlines. But yes, we do give decisions immediately, I would say. And it's really, if it's 4 to 8 weeks maximum, it is an immediate response. We want the students to get on their lives immediately and get on the preparation and for us to know with whom we're going to work. So I believe that it's critical for us to have that system in place. We also use Slate, so we have access. We don't print applications. We just go online. We interview the students. We have more than 1,100 alumni, and they help us interview our candidates. So I think we have a pretty well-oiled machine when it comes to the admissions process. Students have to understand that when we go over our applications, if we decline them for any reason, they should call us, request a 15-minute discussion, and we're going to tell them why they were denied at this time, how they can prepare. We have denied candidates 1 year and told them, if you complete the following courses and you apply next year, we will recommend you for admission, assuming, of course, that you pass the background check. I mean, we have to say that.
Right. Right. Do you ever conditionally admit students, like admit somebody and say, we admit you, but you have to complete this and this and this before you are fully admitted?
It's very rare for us to do a conditional admission that is formal. In other words, this is through graduate division. All of our conditions, for the most part, so requirements, are done on an informal basis. We believe that the students with whom we work will fulfill these conditions because we explain to them the difference that is going to be that it's going to make if they fulfill those conditions, how more competitive, more ready for the program they will be. So I think this is what we do.
It sounds to me like it's a very good idea for anybody seriously interested in the Haas MFE to really be in touch with you so that you can almost counsel them what they need to do to get accepted. Is that correct?
Yes. We counsel our students before they apply. We encourage them to apply. Of course, we have to use a disclaimer, right? We'll say that the fact that we tell you at this time, we have a resume and a copy of transcript that we highly encourage you to apply, doesn't mean that you are going to be accepted. Conduct an interview, but we have discouraged applicants at times. We can say, look, you're not ready. Why do you want to waste $275 for the application fee? The reality is that the $275 application is still going to get you advice. My team and I are well trained to provide advice at any level for an MBA, for a PhD, really career wise. So, you know, you get a discussion with us, and I have personally said to somebody recently, I think you should apply to the MBA program because an MFE for you with a business administration degree that you got 7 years ago, not enough math, not much statistics, and, you know, no programming, the preparation is going to be such, you know, that it's going to require a lot of years in here. And I think based on what you tell me and the work that you want to do, then I highly suggest, you know, nonprofit. He was interested in nonprofit. I thought that the MBA was probably a better path for him at this time. So we don't want people to pay $275 if we're going to decline them. But do we decline candidates? Yes, some. We have to.
Of course. What question would you have liked me to ask that I haven't asked?
Why have I been in the MFE program for the last 18 / soon 19 years?
Okay, consider it asked.
Thank you. I think, you know, to work at the Haas School of Business with my colleagues, other directors, the MBA director, Pete Johnson, the other directors, you know, I have to say that it's really a cool place to work. The faculty, finance faculty, very, very smart. They are really brilliant. They are really kind. They have allowed me to work with them on curriculum issues. I am very fond of our interim dean, Laura Tyson, was very fond of our previous dean, Rich Lyons, who, by the way, we brought back and to the program. He used to teach years ago the equity and currency markets course, the currency part, and has been teaching in the program. And then the new dean who's coming on board as well. So I think working with the students is exciting. You see them come and you help polish them. And I believe that we make a difference in their professional lives, but also in many ways their personal lives, because if you're so confident about learning, about having learned things that you can apply, because this is an applied program, right? So this is a business degree. You go on, you're going to work in businesses, in firms, in finance, you're going to apply what you have learned, a professional degree. I think, you know, I'm privileged and I owe that to the students. They are really wonderful, wonderful folks to work with. I mean, occasionally you're going to find someone perhaps with an attitude, but, you know, we're very good at helping them in that field as well.
That's a very good, probably one of the more valuable parts of your program if you help people with attitude. But that's great. Okay, Linda, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. I've really enjoyed learning about the Haas MFE. Where can listeners go to learn more?
They can just type Berkeley MFE and then, you know, www.haas.berkeley.edu, and then they click under the programs, you know, the MFE, and have all the information. We actually publish all informations. We give a lot of Q&As, there are information on the Q&As, but they can also call 510-642-4417, or they can email us mfe@haas.berkeley.edu. Haas is HAAS. And they can also email me at lindak@haas.berkeley.edu. Or call me, again, 510-642-4417. We look forward to talking to anyone who's interested in the MFE.
Well, thank you very much. That was a pretty complete way to get in touch with you. Listener, you'll find links in the show notes to the Berkeley MFE program. The show notes will be at exhibit.com/279. And you'll find links to both the Haas MFE program as well as other resources that may be of interest to you. Listener, thank you too for tuning in to this, our 279th episode. If you find this show worthwhile, subscribe in iTunes, Stitcher, or whatever is your favorite podcatcher. We have shows focused on financial programs like the MFE, as well as admissions practices at specific schools, test prep, career guidance, financial aid, and much more of interest to graduate school applicants. So don't miss anything. Subscribe. You can find subscribe links at, you guessed it, accepted.com/279. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I'm your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.